Well, hi, everybody. That baby on? Yeah, I guess it is. I asked for a stool because sometimes I get tired of standing up. I got a bad back. Hey, listen, my wife graduated in high school in Reno, Nevada. Reno, Nevada has a big arc over the main drag. It says, the biggest little city in the world. And the thought came to me today, I shared this with Pastor Marty, I think your church ought to be called the biggest little church in the world. What you guys do, you do things right. One thing I appreciate about this guy, you can't beat Pastor Marty. I mean, he put me in a really nice hotel, and he got me the honeymoon suite, so I spent last night with a young couple from Peoria, Illinois. It was great. You can't beat that kind of a pastor. But anyway, we did have fun at the barn. I'm proud of you men who showed up. Men, by our nature, aren't real relational. You know, we sort of like our arm's length. We need a little space, but it was really good. So it's Chuck, right? They'll enjoy you. You're going to bring some good word next week. A couple of things Pastor asked me to mention. I'm going to try to remember. We do a cruise, okay? It's February 19th through 26th of 23. I'm doing it with a guy named Yakov Smirnov, who sounds like a bottle of vodka, but he's a really funny guy, and he loves the Lord. And we're going to go down the Caribbean. I don't have any more brochures. The women gobbled them up this morning. But I can give you an 800 number you can call, or you can remember templetontours.com. The 800 number, I'll do it slowly, 800-334, that's 334-2630. If you're a fun person, we'd love to have you come on our cruise. It's very inexpensive, number one. It's a very reasonably priced cruise. If you're a fun person, we'd love to have you. If you're not a fun person, we'd prefer you stay right here in Batavia. Enjoy the wind chill, okay? So what else was I going to tell them? Something else. About what?
Podcast.
Oh, podcast, yeah. We have a podcast that's easy to find anywhere where you get your podcast. It's called Have a New Kid by Friday. But we talk about everything, and they're fun. I make them fun. I have a young couple that engages me in conversation. We talk about all the things that you want to ask. You take real, live audio questions from people, and we answer them on the air. But like I said, we've got about 1.5 million people following that sucker. And I do that. I mean, I don't make a dime on that stuff, just so you know. I do it just to get the word out to people. Tonight, I struggled with what the heck was I going to share with you tonight. I just kept coming back to, I think some people in here really need to have a little better understanding of what leadership is all about. I wrote a book, it's a 5-star rated book called The Way of the Shepherd. Trust me, it's the kind of book that when you buy it, you'll turn around, you'll buy it for people you work with or people you love. Okay, you don't get 5 stars by being chubby or good looking. So our topic is based on that. I'm going to start with a scripture that comes out of another favorite little book of mine. When you're a writer, you have favorite books. And this one, The Way of the Wise, is a good one. And it's based upon, it's based upon this wonderful little scripture. And it's familiar to both of you. Listen to it, to all of you. Do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart. That's mention number one of the word heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. That's number two, heart. There's only 6 little verses. He's used heart twice already. And by the way, this is King Solomon, who was the smartest king of them all, right? And it goes on and says, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I pointed out last night that we have more than one path in life. You don't just have one path. As you grow older and you change vocations or college students, I used to be a dean of students. A college student will change majors maybe two or three times during their 4 years. But think about the word heart. I want to talk to you about leadership based on this little book, The Way of the Shepherd. You get a chance. I found a couple in the car in my carry-on, and so there's a few back there. If not, pick it up. Order it. I'm telling you, it is a tremendous little book that gives you great insight into what leadership is all about. So we'll start with this. There was a guy named Steve Covey who said something downright profound. He said, start with the end in mind. So wherever you are, you're a leader. You say, well, Lehman, I'm not a leader. I'm a mommy or I'm a daddy or whatever. You're a leader of that home. So I'm just telling you, this kind of message hits everybody because all of us are leaders. You love Jesus, you're a leader, okay? Now, you may not be a good leader. Maybe you need to be a better leader. Maybe you're a great leader, but you're in a position to make a difference. And so Steve Covey says, start with the end in mind. Where do you want to go? Do you have a port of call in life? Do you know where you're going? If you're the mom and dad of a family, I always say in the good ship family, there you are out on the sea of life, and you get bounced around, you're going to hit some storms. Yeah, I know that. You might even have mutiny on that family ship. But the question is, do you have a port of call? Do you know where you're going? And if you know where you're going, guess what? Your kids are going to pick up that vision right along with you. So the kind of things that I write about is, you know, get to know your flock. Sheep is the backdrop. Raising sheep is the backdrop of this book. Know your sheep individually. Get to know every one of them. Engage them. You can't lead people that you don't know, young pastor about to be. You got to engage people. You have to understand who they are. And just like Jesus met people just where they are, you're going to do the same thing as a leader. As you see your kids, they're different kids. I just told Patty before I got up, I said, you must be proud of your kids. They've done well. It's great to have kids. It certainly is a testimony to good old mom and dad. So number one, if you're a firstborn and you like organization, here it is. Number one, know the condition of your flock, okay? Get to know them personally. And then discover the shape. And I made a little acrostic. Strength. What's the strength of those sheep? What's the heart of that sheep? The A, the attitude of that sheep, the personality of the sheep, and the experience of that sheep. You know, I got to know Herb Kelleher very well. He was the former chairman of the board at Southwest Airlines. Listen to what he said. He said, we are in the service business. Now listen to the rest of the quote. It's incidental that we also fly airplanes. There's a great leader. He's a great visionary. He used to go on, when peanuts were in vogue on airlines, they're no longer available, he used to hop on there and hand them out to people. He was with the flock. He was with the people. I saved every note that he ever wrote to me. I got a chance to interview him and a guy named Bob Crandall, who was the CEO over at American Airlines. But if you ever flew on Southwest, let me tell you something. You had fun. You have more fun on Southwest than any other airline. And you don't know why, and I'm going to tell you tonight, because Herb Kelleher was the youngest child in his family, and he insisted that that airline be fun to ride. Lehman Schools, my name's on it, Lehman Academy of Excellence. I insist with our teachers that that classroom is fun. I hated school. I hated teachers. They didn't like me either, but I'm into fun. If it's not fun, I don't want to do it. But there's an indelible imprint that a leader... Here's the point, that a leader leaves on the flock. And only you as the true leader can do that. So you start with healthy sheep. If you don't have healthy sheep and you're raising sheep, you're in trouble. You buy the best stock. And by the way, you're never impressed with a letter of recommendation. I wouldn't trust a letter of recommendation farther than I can throw it. So anyway, if you want to talk leadership, you got to understand this. It's personal. And no one should pay for your leadership other than yourself. Because if you're a leader, you sacrifice. If you're a mom, you sacrifice. If you're a dad, you sacrifice. If you're a general manager, you sacrifice. You take care of that flock, quite frankly. So Emails. We're all inundated with emails. We're attacked by emails. They envelop us. They drive us nuts. I'm always telling my assistant, Debbie, pick up the phone and call. I tell our teachers the first 2 weeks of school, I want you on the honker talking to that parent at home and telling that young parent, you know, little Michael's doing well, he's adjusting, he's doing well in school. How long does that take, teacher? 120 seconds. But if you're that parent at home, what's your first observation about that school? We give a rip about your kids. And our schools today are not in good shape. They're an embarrassment, quite frankly. Point number three, you firstborn children, you already forgot number two, and that was discover the shape of your sheep. That's that little acrostic. And I'm flying through this because you're getting about an hour and a half talk in 25 minutes, okay? Help your sheep identify with you. If you're a leader, how do you do that? I know when our kids were little, when they went out, you know, in teenage years, I'd say, hey, don't forget, you're a Lehman. And once at a seminar, a lady asked me, she said, you know, you mentioned that, hey, don't forget you're a Lehman. What does that mean? I said, I don't know. But I guess it's an expectation, hey, you're a Lehman. You stand for something. Don't fall for anything. You know, make your family proud. In the sheep business, you know how they identify with the sheep? They punch a little hole in their ear and they put a number on them. But that sheep knows they belong to that flock. Okay, let's see how you guys are at history. Name a former president, now deceased, who was known for his diplomacy and foreign affairs, especially with China. Nixon, very good. Oh, we got a historian with us tonight. Yeah. Well, now, was he a good leader? How about Bill Clinton? He's the only Rhodes Scholar president we ever had. Was he a good leader? You know, Hillary said it takes a village to raise a child. Personally, I think it takes a village to keep an eye on Bill, but I won't go into that in any detail. But the point is, yeah, they were leaders all right, but they were flawed to the core. And so a leader has to have what? Integrity. You got to be able to trust them. And sheep, you know, you might think that sheep are dumb, but they're not. They're afraid of running water. He leadeth me beside what kind of waters? Still waters. There's a reason for it. Sheep don't like running water. You know, if they were up there in the Niagara, up in Buffalo where I grew up, and they're out there, can you see them out in the Niagara River wondering what that mist is down there? Hello, that's what they call Niagara Falls. You're about to lose your life, little sheep. But anyway, I digress. Leave it to group, like I'm a psychologist, okay? Leave it to the psychologist to do this one. They find a shepherd who's got a huge flock. They identify him. They take the exact clothes that the guy is wearing, the shepherd. They digitize his call. And today with technology, you can digitize things perfectly. And they put a false shepherd in the flock of the sheep. And then they bellow that call across the meadow. Guess what the sheep do? They all turn around and look. But what doesn't happen? They won't follow the sheep. Now, if you're a leader and you try to drive sheep, good luck. What happens when you try to drive sheep? They scatter. Sheep find the closeness and the protection, what? In numbers, in the flock. So anyway, if you hear a few little misbeats here, it's because I'm flopping over some stuff so I can give you what I think you'd enjoy hearing about. But that good shepherd, he sets high standards for performance. Some of you know the story about Ben Carson, interesting guy. African-American man who was a surgeon by trade, wonderful guy. His brother Curtis and he grew up in abject poverty in Detroit, Michigan. I mean, they were poorer than poor. And his mother, Sonia, was quite a lady. She cleaned houses. She was a domestic. That's how she supported those two boys. But every Friday, those guys had to turn in book reports to Mama Bear. Every Friday. And I tear up thinking about this because, you know, Dr. Carson discovered something, I think it was the seventh grade. He discovered his mother couldn't read. She was illiterate. But she asked those kids to do those book reports. She knew the way out of the ghetto was green power, economic power, education power. And she raised two great sons by herself. I have a heart for single parents. I don't know how you do it. But the good leader relentlessly conveys to the sheep what the mission is all about. That's part of being a good leader. But like I say, great leadership isn't professional. It's personal. You take it personal. Jed Fish is the new coach at the University of Arizona football team. They were 1-11 last year. Just make a mental note this next football season and see what happens to that team. I guarantee you they'll be a great football team in just 1 year's turn. Because his whole thing is be personal with people. He's knocked himself out. He's gone and raised money, and he's one of those guys. He's a mover and shaker. There's no two ways about it. But if you want to be a good leader, again, no one pays for that other than yourself. Lute Olson, the great Hall of Fame basketball coach, I was sitting at practice one day, and he made a guy by the name of Judd Bushner, who paid, I think, 12 years in the NBA, move 4 inches. How big is 4 inches on a basketball court? But he had that ability to see where everybody was. And those great leaders have a vision of the field. They see life as it is. And I would encourage you to use your personality as a leader. Use it to your advantage. I'm a youngest child. I would do anything for a funny laugh, okay? That's because I grew up behind a sister who is perfect and a brother who is near perfect, okay? But I'll tell you a quick story. My son graduated from college down in southern Florida. They had a 9 o'clock graduation. And he said, "Hey, Dad, can we go up to Disney?" I said, "Sure, let's go." We had a big old 15-passenger van. I got 9 people with me. We pull up there. I'm shortening his story. $180 a ticket. I got 9 people with me. I know who's paying for it. But out of the corner of my eye, I saw a little sign that said, "Media Relations." I'm telling you, it was like calling me, "Media Relations." And I started to move that direction, and my wife, Mrs. Uppington, said, "No!" She treats me like a Doberman sometimes. "Sit! No!" And I disobeyed my wife, I got to tell you. I said, "Honey, I just need 5. Just, no, leave me. We're hot. We want to go in there. Just get the plane. Honey, just give me 5 minutes. Long story short, the kid's name is Daniel. I've got a WKBW Channel 7 golf shirt on. I walk up there, I see Daniel, I saw myself, he's a firstborn son, I can tell by looking at the sucker, and there he's got his hometown, which is Buffalo. I say, "Thank you, Jesus, I'm already on second base." So I start talking to this kid, I'm shortening this thing, but I had fun with him. The boss walked in, I said, "Everybody stop picking their nose, here comes the boss." And I said, "Hey, is he a good boss?" I love to ask embarrassing questions to people, okay, catch them off guard. And so the guy ends up giving me 4 tickets free, $180 a pop. So I say to him, as only a baby the family could say, "Excuse me, do you see that tall blind lady over there near the palm tree? That's Mrs. Uppington. I actually have 9 people with me. How would you look at me if you were Daniel, the firstborn?" You would look at me like I was, what, you want more? We just gave you 4 tickets, buddy. And so the boss intervenes. He says, "I'll never forget this, help the doctor out. I've got 5 more tickets. I got 9 tickets in my back pocket. Now, I married the firstborn, Mrs. Uppington, who knows exactly how I ought to live, breathe, eat, dress, etc. She can spot a flaw at 50 paces, and I'm flawed to the core. But here's payback time, because now I look dejected. I look down. I shuffle my feet. I'm even closer to her. And as only she can say, I mean, she fell for this like an egg from a tall chicken. She just took it all in. And she says, I was so joyful to hear those words. She says, "Well, show me the tickets, Mr. Big Time." This is the highlight of 54 years of marriage. You're about to see it. Wah. But you use your personality. Some of you would never do that. You wouldn't do that. Most of you firstborns would never do that. There might be a daring baby or a middle child who could pull that off. But I'm telling you, leadership, the way you live your life every day, is all about creating relationships. I'm always telling my kids, always make a friend. You know, how about make your pasture safe? The pasture for your sheep, the workplace, it's got to feel safe for people to thrive. And you infuse every position. Now, if you're a family member, you say you're not a leader, think of your kids. Every position you infuse what? Importance to. So the firstborn, the middle child, the baby, whoever, everybody has an important thing. But everybody gives back to the family. Even the three-year-old can help learn to undo a dishwasher. Everybody has a job. I've learned in school systems that that janitor, that man or woman that has all the keys, you better have a good relationship with that person. At Lehman Academy of Excellence, we give out the Dr. Lehman Award and the Encouragement Award. And both of those awards come with $2,500 in cash. We just pay them off and say, hey, thanks for the great job you did, okay? Well, last year, a guy named Jerry Valenzuela, one of our janitors, won that prize. You know what these little ankle biters? They're big on losing teeth, okay? You get the six-year-olds, you know, they look like a farmer from Arkansas. They've lost half their teeth. But anyway, long story short, this little tyke takes it out. She's got it in a napkin, and inadvertently, she threw the tooth away in a 50-gallon garbage can. And so all the little ankle biters, the first and second graders, eat lunch with the kinders. And you should see that place. I mean, these things are just filled with garbage. And God bless Jerry. You know what he did? He dug through that garbage, and he found that little kid's tooth. In my estimation, that's going beyond the call of duty, okay? But we like to, in a very positive way, acknowledge that kind of leadership. You rotate your sheep from pasture to pasture because it's a smart thing to do. You don't want people always doing the same things. But you as a leader better recognize who has skill. It's not getting them on the bus. It's getting them on the right seat on the bus. And everybody's different. You reassure your sheep by being visible. I mean, I'm old. I'm near death, let's face it. But you know what? Those seven schools, I show up. And when I show up, I'm telling you, you think I was a rock star. Because some little ankle biter will say, there's Dr. Lehman. And they all come, 200 of them at a time. And believe it or not, they all get a hug. They're going to kill me one of these days. Three of them, I told my wife, I always wear shorts. And three of them were on my backside pulling my pants down. I thought, my pants are going down here. I had a call for kinder teachers to peel some of those little guys off me. But you know, if you're a leader, guess what? People want to please you. But you got to know these people. You got to know every one of them. And so you reassure the sheep by being visible. We meet the kids at the curb when they show up. That's for safety reasons as well. We know who pulls up. We know grandma and grandpa. We know the van that drops different kids off. It's all in the way of protecting the sheep. I'm hurrying. When I was a dean of students, and the next point is don't let problems fester. If there's a problem, deal with it. There's two thoughts on that, the blowout theory or the slow leak theory. I'm a blowout theory person. If there's a problem, let's get in there. If there's a blow up, we'll deal with it. But I'm not going to let things just stagnate. Well, as a former dean of students, I had eight secretaries. If it wasn't one, it was the other, you know. And this one in particular, whenever she came in and closed the door behind her, I knew the waterworks were coming. And she'd start crying and tell me, and like a fool, I'm sitting there listening to her forever. And one day it hit me. I said, hey, you've written a few books on this subject. Why don't you do something? So the next time she came in, I was ready for her. I said, oh, I am so glad you're bringing this to my attention. And I take her right over to the woman's desk that she's complaining about. And I say, Mary Ellen, Alice has something to tell you. Alice, you're on. Oh, well, it's no real big thing. You know, I just wanted to. I'm telling you, they'll wear you out. They'll wear you out. keep the tennis ball life on the right side of the court. I'm hurrying. The staff of direction, okay? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, what did the shepherd use the rod for? He used the rod to, number one, count the sheep. The shepherd would actually be the gate. He would sleep in the gateway to make sure the sheep wouldn't go out at night. And he would use the rod to inspect the sheep to see if he's got little animals on them, little insects they shouldn't have on them. And yes, in this group of sheep right here tonight at this wonderful church, there's a couple of you, if I'm the shepherd and I got a little rod with me and a staff, and I go, all right, listen up, sheep, we're moving out right now. We're going this way. We're going west. There's a couple in here who by your nature would say, no, I'm not going. And you would dig your little hoofs in the turf. Now, I'm the good shepherd. What would I do? Would I say, well, have a nice day. Enjoy Mr. Coyote when you see him. No, they're my sheep. I earn a living on those sheep. So I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to use that rod to give them a little shot in the tail. They're going to know who the shepherd is. They're sheep. I'm the shepherd. We're going this way. And so you have to be action-oriented sometimes in your leadership. And, of course, in today's weird society we live in, people get offended about everything. But don't confuse bridles with boundaries. Your people do not need bridles, but they do need boundaries. And they see those boundaries on how you draw the line. The fences that we have give security to sheep, believe it or not. The rules you have in your family, the boundaries you have in your family, the mundane things in your family that you can count on. You know what time you're going to eat. You know what time those kids are going to bed. You know what time is homework time. Those are the things that give security to children. When you upset the apple cart, they get a little nervous. So you keep the flock moving. In the movie Hoosiers, which is one of my favorite movies, if you recall, there was a kid on there who was a little hot dog who didn't do what the coach asked him to do. And so he told him to sit. And the game goes on, and pretty soon they're down to four players. Okay, there's only four on the court. And the kid, the hot dog, who was seated by the coach, goes and puts his uni on, takes off his jacket. And coach says to him, where are you going? Have a seat. And the referee comes over into Gene Hackman's face. He says, hey, coach, you only got four. You need five on the court. Do you remember what Gene Hackman said in that movie? He said, my team is on the floor. And see, when a sheep goes astray, everybody pays for it. When you husband or wife decide to go have an affair, I got news for you. All the sheep pay for it. It's not just you. And so there's a premium on leadership. There's a premium on integrity. We have the great example of the prodigal son. He had to learn the hard way. Some of us learned that hard way. But notice when he came back, the father ran to him. And I always loved that. I mean, and the older brother, it was the younger brother who took off. The older brother who stayed on the farm and worked. When he heard there was a party for that no good brother, his nose was three sheets in the wind out there, removed from where it should be. He couldn't believe it. But see, and again, it's not a story about family relationships. It's a story about salvation, coming back to the Lord. But I love the contrast that someone can use when you look at families today, because things are changing at warp speed. But remind people that failure isn't fatal. People are going to fail. They're going to make mistakes. We're flawed to the core. Lots of times in churches, I love to talk about just sharing your imperfection with people. You don't hang out with people you're not comfortable with, okay? And some people, because they're too perfectionistic or too critical or whatever, they're just not fun to be around. We avoid those kind of people. But here's the thing about great leaders. They seek opinion of other people. I told the women last night, us men are not talkers for the most part, okay? If you want a man to talk, you don't ask him a question. We hate your questions, ladies. We hate them. The last thing a man wants to hear is, honey, we need to talk. Trust me, your husband doesn't want to talk. And he hates the Y word. There's not a man here who loves the Y word, okay? Women are like the inquirer. Inquiring minds want to know. They ask silly, stupid questions. So if you want your husband to speak to you, okay, take some notes on this, ladies. Ask your husband, your boyfriend, your son, what's your opinion about this? I'd love to know your opinion. Opinion is the key that opens up the door. It opens up the door from communication. Husbands, by the way, and kids have a lot of similarities. And this is just added while I think of it. Ladies, here's the question. Is your husband capable of saying something really stupid? Okay? You laugh, but I know you're with me, okay? What do you do when your husband says something really stupid? My suggestion, just look at your husband and say, wow. Fascinating. You can be thinking, you're a moron. Don't say it. So keep in mind that kids and husbands, we have some sheep-like mannerisms. Okay, the rod of correction. We're doing good. We're almost there. The word Latin, for discipline is discipulus, where we get the word pupil from. And discipline is really taught in a series of teachable moments. Some of you in the business world, I'll pick on somebody that's maybe in the car business, for example. There's a good business. By the way, don't let these car dealers fool you. They're making more money right now than they ever had in the history of the dealership. I'm on top of it. I just did a guy who's got like 40 dealerships. And these guys are rolling in money. So go talk to that dealer. When he gives you that price, say, hey, you can do better than that. I listen to Lehman over there at the church. He says, well, I can't make the deal. I got to talk to the general sales manager. He says, excuse me, if you go through that door, my offer goes down $600. You got him. He says, well, I got to talk with him. You say, there's a phone. Even a prisoner gets a phone call. Go ahead. I teach people how to keep in control of those kind of things. It's basic psychology, but it works and it works and it works. But it's all about relationships. I'm a football nut. My license plate says Buffalo Bills. My other one says the Bills. I've gone to football practice at the University of Arizona for years. I called it faculty relations 30 years ago when I was a dean of students, okay? But I still show up. I'm on the sideline. I know the kids. I know the coaches. And one coach we have, we call him Coach Kurlav. His last name is Kurlavich. And he's a character. He's old as dirt. He's approaching 70. He shows up at practice with a cigar. It's about this long, and it's not lit. He just chews on it. And, of course, he's defensive line coach, okay? He always wears a gray shirt and a towel over him. Well, I was up in their offices one day, and he said, I understand you write books. I said, yeah, coach, I do. He says, you got any history books? I love history. I said, no, coach, no history. I said, I wrote a leadership book. Oh, leadership, huh? I said, well, if I bring you a copy, will you read it? Yeah, I will. So I brought him a copy of The Way of the Shepherd. I'm out of practice about a week later. He sees me out of the corner of his eye. He says to his GA, take over. He walks over. He says to me, read your book. Liked it. Let me see if I got this straight. They don't care what you know until they know you care. That's it, coach. Think about that statement. They don't care what you know until they know you care. Back to this business person who's in car sales. Maybe he's a manager. He's not too sure about this one salesperson, okay? My suggestion, 9 o'clock in the morning, you're at that guy's office. Hey, Jake, tell me about your day. What do you got planned? What's going to happen? You hear him out. That's all you're doing. And then at 5 o'clock, you're back in his office with, hey, tell me about your day. What you're doing is you're putting the spotlight on someone. You're saying, I'm watching you. So the good leader plays things smart, just like I encourage parents to play parental poker with your children. You have four aces in your back pocket. Use them. Your kid can't do anything, quite frankly, without your permission. You have much more authority than you give yourself credit for, but they work you. We have seen the enemy, and they are small. And you're unionized. And they know how to play you like a violin. And if we're talking to a son, if we're talking to you, Mom, that kid can do no wrong. He is your boy. He is your boy. Or daddy's little girl. Those things get played out. Trust me, these kids work you like nobody's business. I'm looking at the clock. I'm going to be on time, Marty. I want you to know that. I'm just cutting out about two-thirds of great material just because you need to leave. Okay. I'm just pulling this chain. None of that's true. But anyway, I've always had a knack for athletics. I played ball. In fact, I love to come to Batavia because it always triggers a memory. We were in Little League, and I was an all-star team, and we played different all-star teams on the way to Williamsport. Well, we didn't get to Williamsport. We didn't get past Batavia because our coach moved me from third base over to first base for defensive reasons. And the third out is about to come into my mitt, and I'm on first base. You know what I did? I dropped the ball. They won. We're out. I'm old as dirt. I still tear up thinking about that. But my coach, I'll never forget what he said. He came up and he put his arm around me and he says, hey, listen, it's okay. We would never get this far without you. Which in retrospect was a barefaced lie. But he had a way of saying, hey, you're important. There's a little blip in life. You know, life goes on. I learned that when a young kid backed a service vehicle into my brand new yellow Sandalwood 1970 GTO convertible. Yeah, you wish I wish I had that today. And I remember a friend of mine, I was so upset I could just kill this guy. And a friend of mine who was the associate dean of students came over and he said, Kevin, let me tell you something. It's just metal. And with the help of State Farm, we got the sucker fixed. Life goes on. So many times we get caught up in the minutia of life. But anyways, I'm wondering. Back to sports. A good friend of mine, Jerry Kindall, was an All-American baseball player at the University of Minnesota. He went on and played in the big leagues. Played for the Twins, the Indians, and the Chicago Cubs. I got to know Jerry. I met him first in 1962 in spring training with the Indians. He's a guy who loved the Lord. He went on to become the University of Arizona head baseball coach. He won three championships, national championships. He was a tremendous person. But I'm going to close with this little vignette because when I think of leaders, I think of guys like Jerry Kindall, who put so many young kids in the big leagues. He was a great coach, but he loved Jesus more than anything else in life. But I should tell you this first. Recently, I was on Good Morning America, and Drew Brees was on with me, the quarterback. I got a chance to see his Super Bowl ring that he had. I'm telling you, the diamonds are like sheets of glass. They're that big. And if you see these ball players that have these rings, I don't know how they wear them. They have to be the most uncomfortable things in the world. Well, Jerry got a ring from winning the American League championship when he was with the Twins. And Jerry and I worshiped at the same church. I know his whole family well. And one day I'm at church, and I run into his wife, Georgia. And she's got this diamond pendant hanging around her neck. And I said, Georgia, that is a beautiful pendant you've got there. And she said, well, didn't I tell you about that? I said, no. She said, my Jerry gave it to me. Immediately. I mean, I was like, Elizabeth, I'm coming home. I mean, I thought I was going to have a coronary. I knew immediately what happened. And I looked at her. I said, not the ring. She said, yes. I said, oh, no. What this guy did, he had the symbol. He ran for the race. He got the prize, as St. Paul talking about. You know, he ran for the prize. He got the prize. He's got the symbol on his finger. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything else in life. He's a great leader. He's a great husband. He's a great father. He takes the diamond out of that ring and hangs it around his wife's neck. Huh. He makes three gold pins for his children. I'm here to tell you, if I had one of those rings, I think I'd put it right here on my nose. But there's a great man. There's a guy who understands leadership. So anyway, I'm going to just close with a word of prayer, but you got a very shortened version of some of the stuff that's in the Way of the Shepherd. If you read that book, trust my words here, I'm not lying to you, you're going to not only read that book, you're going to go and buy one for somebody else, or if you work in an organization, you're going to share that book with many. It's just one of those books that scratches where people itch these days. So let me just close this in prayer. Father, thank you for the biggest little church in the world. I love the way they do things, Lord. They do things right. I'm reminded, Lord, in John 2, we see the story of your first miracle at Cana. You changed the water into wine, but it wasn't just any kind of wine. It wasn't 7-Eleven wine. It was the best. In fact, the steward remarked, you're different from most. You do things first class. Well, Lord, you gave us your son, Jesus, the perfect one. Let each of us remember that we're not perfect. We're imperfect. We want to please you, Lord, and yet we fall short. We're destined to fall short. It's part of our journey as we live this life in this world on this earth. So, Lord, let each of us be reminded that other people are more important than us, that our job is to service other people. And just like you taught me years ago in that little Bible club that my mother dragged me to, which I hated so much, but I learned one thing, and that was Jesus, others, and you. And that's the joy in life. So, Lord, as we go back to school and back to work and back to the many demands of life, let us always take the love and the sharing and the joy of knowing you wherever we go. It's really great, Lord, when people say, you know, you seem a little different. And that's a great opportunity to say, hey, you know what? Let me tell you why I'm different. It's because Jesus Christ changed my life. So, Lord, pour out your bounty upon these people. These are great people who love the Lord. And again, I love the way they do things. I know that's a joy for you to know that people care in a big way, in a tangible way. And they reach out to people in the community like this little church does here in Batavia. So bless Pastor Marty and his son as that transition takes place. Bless each of us, Lord. We're thankful that we can worship a God of peace, a God who's willing to give us a second chance at every turn. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Wow. I gained so much tonight. Especially, I'm going to get the number of Daniel at Disney World. Because I want to see that tall chicken drop that egg so far. The story you told at the end just, God, touched my heart. I haven't always been the best husband. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm making up for it. I'm going to do everything I can. And I just felt that tonight. What a great reminder. You know, we get so connected with stuff in our lives. And the woman or the man that God has given to us, sometimes we just walk by and we don't see the level of importance, even with our own children sometimes. I want to pray for you tonight, those that are watching online as well. Maybe there's a level in your life that you just say, you know what, I need to go up another rung in the ladder, my relationship first with God, because you'll never love your husband or your wife or your children the way you should until you love Jesus the way you should. And when you love him, you fall in love with the ones that he puts in your life. I want you to just close your eyes. I'm going to close in prayer. Doc Lehman, thank you so much. But if you just, you say, Pastor Marty, I just need that little extra. I need to go up a little higher. Just eyes closed, heads bowed. Just put up your hand. I want to pray for you. I don't want nothing from you. I'm not going to ask you to move or nothing. All I want to do is pray for you right now. Lord, do you see the hands? And God, you brought us here. You intentionally created this night to do what you are doing right at this moment. I pray peace and strength and hope, help. I pray for the right people to come into our lives. And Lord, just limit the wrong people in our lives and help us to know the difference. Pray for husbands and wives tonight that you will bring them closer together than they've ever been. Moms and dads to love their children and the children to love their parents like they have never known before. And Lord, we trust you with it and thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said amen. Man, I love you. You're amazing. Hey, this Sunday I'm going to be preaching on fighting for your family. And then a week from tonight, Pastor Aaron is going to be speaking. On Father's Day, Pastor Ryan is going to be sharing God's Word. And then the following Thursday, Bishop Chris Ball will be here with us. I mean, we've got a lineup this month that is incredible. And then the last Thursday, Prophet Hector Santos will be with us. This month is going to be life-changing. I love you. The book table is in the back. Don't fight over them. Don't elbow anybody on the way out. I love you. Go in his grace and go in his peace tonight.